A number of years ago, I read an article and I talked about it at the time. I don't think I've talked about it in quite a while. It's called The Age of Endarkenment by Michael Ventura. Basically, what his premise is, Western civilization doesn't want to grow up. Nobody wants to grow up. Everybody wants to stay young and all that kind of stuff. And that has consequences for society in general, which is to say it's a lack of adults. I want to talk about that in the context of Passover and how that all works. So Passover, as everybody knows, is when Israel got freed from the world system. Egypt represented the world, and God went in and took his people out. It's a time when Israel became a people. And one of the things that I've talked about in the past and briefly mentioned is the bloody door and all that kind of stuff represents birth. So God said to Pharaoh that Israel is my firstborn, and if you don't let my firstborn come and serve me, then I will take out your firstborn. The way you can look at that is the firstborn of Egypt represents the firstborn of the world, symbolically. There can only be one firstborn. So in order for Israel to be the firstborn, the other firstborn has to die, because there can only be one. In addition to which, of course, it was justice for slaying the Hebrew babies and a whole bunch of other stuff. But Israel was chosen by God to represent him in the world. And of course, the problem that God has is Israel isn't consistent. They go for a while and they do really well, and then all of a sudden they go off the rails and things are not so good anymore. So what I want to talk about is God's Moedim, his feast, his appointed times, in the context of periods when Israel gets grabbed by the stacking swivel and brought back into focus. And that's what they are for us, too. So let's talk about adolescence now, which is where we are. Adolescence is an interesting time of life. We've all been there. Some of you are still there. And the thing about adolescence is that's a time when you are becoming something. It's a transitional period. You're going through that period, and in that period, you're trying to figure out what you are, who you are, etc. And what's happened in our society is that transitional period has been hijacked by evil. And sort of the end game of that is all of this transsexual stuff, where they hijack adolescents at a time when they're not sure of anything, and they then weld them into a dysfunctional life of sin. Adolescence is a normal part of growing up. Everybody does it. There's nothing wrong with it, nothing sinful. Well, there is a lot of sin that happens because you don't know what you're doing yet. But the point I'm making is it's a normal transitional period for human beings. And what's happened in our society, since we have this culture of youth, and that, by the way, is a function of commercialism. Anybody ever drink beer? The beer focus is on young people, because what they want to do is get you so that your favorite brand is whatever their brand is, because if you get to that brand as a young person, you will buy it for the rest of your life. So the emphasis on advertising is youth and all of that kind of stuff. And what happens is people delay growing up. And we're seeing that, by the way, in the formation of families. Women have delayed getting married and having children. And they're very fond of saying men are expendable, women are perishable. Sperm is cheap, eggs are expensive. Another way to say it, biology. So a woman has a span of time in which she's fertile. And if you use that up doing something else, then your chances of forming a family drop dramatically. That is, again, all a function of this focus on never growing up. I don't want to grow up. I want to be an adolescent. I want to be young and vigorous all my life. Well, it doesn't work that way. Now, one of the problems with adolescence is you've all heard the angry young man. It is normal, completely normal. As a young man grows up and he's trying to find his way and so forth, nobody understands me, you know, that kind of stuff. Perfectly normal. You're supposed to grow out of it. And part of the problem is people don't want to grow out of it anymore. Adolescence is a time where your hormones are going sideways, and that's perfectly normal. You're trying to figure out what it is that you're supposed to do with this body you've been given and how all that's supposed to work. And the whole deal here is you're supposed to have adults guiding you through that process. And therein lies our problem. We don't have adults guiding young people through that process. We've sort of thrown them into the process. I mean, God throws them into the process because that's how you grow up, and left them to fend for themselves. That's the origin of a great deal of the evil that we're seeing right now in the West. Adults are not being adult. They're still trying to be teenagers, and it doesn't work. Everybody's born with yetzer hara, Hebrew for evil inclination. It isn't so much evil as it is focused on the world. God built it into you. It is perfectly normal. And what it does is it keeps your focus on the immediate. And it's really necessary because if you're walking in the woods and you see a bear, you want to be focused on that bear and do something appropriate immediately. You don't want to say, "Oh God, how about converting this bear to Christianity and vegetarianism?" You need to do something. So this is wired into you by God, but the problem is it keeps your focus down here instead of your focus up there. And what it will do is it will guide you to do the expedient thing instead of the wise long-term thing. And it's the function of adults to take adolescents who are just figuring this out and grab them by the stocking swivel and say, "No, you can't do that." And nobody's doing that. So what does all that have to do with Passover? Everything. Because God says, "I made you. I know what you're like. I've been watching you for 5,000 years. Human nature hasn't changed. So how am I going to keep you focused on me? And how am I going to keep you on track as best as you can be kept on track?" And we all have independent free will, so going off track is something we all get to do. Shouldn't, but we get to. So the Moedim, God's appointed times, and of course there are seven of them. It's a menorah. You have Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits. And then on the other end, you've got Yom Teruah, Rosh Hashanah. You've got Yom Kippur. And then you've got Sukkot. In the middle, you've got Shavuot, or Pentecost. So it's a menorah. But the point is, what you're supposed to do in each of these, biblically, is three times a year, all the males in Israel are to come up to the tabernacle or wherever the temple is, and they're to have a feast. And the whole idea there is everybody comes together as a community three times a year in God's presence. That's the idea. And of course, you've all been through this many times. Every one of those feasts talks about Yeshua and talks about the Messiah. So it's all of a piece. Now, let's start with Passover. One of the things that I said about adolescence is the mantra is, "Nobody understands me." Well, what's the first thing that God says to Moses at the burning bush? Exodus 3:7. "The Lord said, 'I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry because of their taskmaster. I know their sufferings.'" So what you have here is God saying, "I understand. I know what you're going through." That continues with Yeshua. Hebrews 2:18. "For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." In other words, our Messiah is somebody who understands us. God is saying to Moses, "I understand what they're going through. They're not alone." John 5, starting in verse 22. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son. Well, why did he do that? Because the Son is one of us. The Son understands the temptations we're going through. The Son understands the pain that we sometimes experience. In other words, we have a God who is sympathetic and understanding of us. Adolescent, the cry is, nobody understands me. Life is just terrible and nobody understands. Yeah, God does. And he explicitly says so over and over again. That's the whole point of the exercise there. So what do we do about all this? Well, remember what the task given to Israel is. You are to be my firstborn. You are to carry my name into the world. You are to show by example what it is like to be God's people. You're to live according to my law. And if you live according to my law, I will bless your socks off. And people all around you will say, wow, what a wise and understanding people that has such a God as this. That's the object of the exercise. That's what we're supposed to do. Well, there's an if-then part of that clause. If you do that, that's what's going to happen. But there's another side to it. If you don't do that, then I am not going to let you besmirch my name. I'm not going to let you engage in paganism, child sacrifice, all of the things that the pagans do, and still be called by my name. Because then you're dragging my name through the mud. So in that case, what's going to happen is the other side of the covenant's going to kick in. And you're going to be up to your hips in hairy Babylonians or Assyrians or Romans or something, and you're going to get sent into exile to show that I am just. Remember, we talked about compassion and understanding on the part of God. He does, he is, but he's also just. And so if we violate our half of the covenant, then the other half of the covenant kicks in. And the reason Hebrews, Jews are still a people. You can't find Assyrians anymore. You can't find Romans anymore. I mean, they got a city named Rome, but it's not the same. They've all disappeared. Hebrews haven't. They're still there. And the reason they haven't is because they tell their children the story. And that's the commandment in Exodus 12. Every year at this time, as you go through these Moedim, tell your children the story. Now, as a side note, remember I said we are awash in adolescence. We are awash in adolescent anger. That's what you see with all these people running around screaming. And one of the things that is happening is our history is being cut out from under us, taking down statues and so forth. Many of you know I used to be in the Army, and I was at West Point. Robert E. Lee was one of the early superintendents of West Point, giant of a man. West Point is now taking his statue down. The whole point is we're trying to destroy your history, because if you have no history, you are not a people. And the whole point of God's Moedim is you tell the story. 7 times a year, you tell the story, because your stories and your history are what make you a people. So as we gather together on Wednesday for our Passover Seder, we will tell the story again, just like we do every year. We have been adopted as children of God. Now, I don't know whether any of us are ethnically Hebrew or not, but the thing about Yeshua's sacrifice is it enables us to become children of God. Israel's still the firstborn. If you happen to be Israel, you're one of them. If you don't happen to be Israel, you're not. But you are a member of the kingdom, and you are a child of God because of what God did for you. That's what it means to be grafted in. You are part of the kingdom now. And God set up the rules of his kingdom and the rituals of his kingdom as a way of keeping his people, you, focused on what he wants to do as opposed to on what we want to do. All right, so what do we do about all this? Our mission is the same as it's always been, which is to go into the world and make disciples of all nations. Pretty simple. As you do that, what you have to do is you have to choose how much of the world system you are going to be involved with. And you get to choose that. Now, the world will try and suck you in and make everything about itself. That's what it's trying to do. You have to stay above that and choose what parts of the world you want to engage with and which parts you don't. You've also got to keep truth and beauty alive. One of the things that's going on is beauty is being destroyed. Picasso was a genius. His paintings are ugly. Sorry, folks. They're worth millions of dollars, but they're ugly because they don't glorify, they deconstruct. And your other part of your job is to pass your heritage on to the next generation. As you have children, teach your children. Now, the last thing you got to do is be willing to speak the truth. There is nothing more offensive to a sinner than the truth. That's what cancel culture is all about. You can't say the truth because I find it offensive. Well, of course, if I'm sinning, I would find the truth offensive. So you have to have the courage to speak the truth in every situation. Now, you don't have to be nasty or harsh or bitter. I mean, you can be if you want. I don't care. But you don't have to. But always, always, always speak the truth. I read a very interesting article. The modern church has descended into marketing instead of telling the truth. And the example that he used is there's some mega church somewhere, I don't remember where it is, that is saying, all right, we need to bring LGBTQXYZ into the church. That's a marketing strategy. In other words, I want bodies in the pew putting money in the offering box. I don't care what their character is. That's a marketing approach, as opposed to a truth approach, which is God loves you, but he doesn't love what you're doing. Different message. And the whole point is, one of the reasons that society has this delayed adulthood that we have is the church has slipped from telling the truth to marketing. And the message now has been so watered down that it doesn't inspire anybody. So, as you go out, be alert. Lots of people are hurting out there. It's a target-rich environment. The point is, there are lots of people out there that are hurting. And if you can reach them and tell them that God truly cares about them as a human being and get them to separate themselves from whatever it is that they have got themselves caught up in. Could be any number of things because there's lots of stuff out there to be caught up in. Then you can advance the kingdom of God. It is certainly not going to work if you run up to somebody and start shouting in their face. What that does is just gets their hackles up and gets their defenses up. Not effective. Now, that may be necessary if that person is messing with somebody else. So getting in somebody's face is not always wrong, but if that's the one you want to speak to, it's probably counterproductive. That's where discernment comes in. So speak the truth. Speak God's word. Speak it out as you go through your life.